Took me ages to work out this outfit. You might not notice it. Pure wool. Wool. Cotton mix. Now, for a Jewish person, of course, that's terrible. You're not supposed to mix your cotton and your wool. You're not supposed to have two types of material. So I just want you to take a quick check of your outfits. Who mixed? Let's confess. Disappointing. You're not following the law very well. Okay, let's go. This week, bacon and eggs. Who put their meat on? Who bacon and egged it up this week? Okay, once again, according to the law, you know, bacon's bad. Sorry about that. You're not very law-abiding, so we better pray before we get into the sermon. Let's pray. Our Father, we do know that we struggle with sin. We know that it's, for many of us, a battle that rages day after day. And we would love to hear your word now. What do you have to say to us? Who are your people and how you want to transform us? And for those of us who are not your people, we ask your grace to show us something of yourself so that we can see you as you are. Lord, please speak to our hearts, all of our hearts. Help us to hear your word. And we ask, dear Father, that you'll give us the grace to have transformed lives. Amen. That's not the real problem. The cotton and wool's not the problem. Or the bacon. That's all I eat. And I'm Jewish, not like you Gentiles. It could be other problems, though. This week, you might have struggled with anger, frustrated with work. You know, that never-ending job. The boss doesn't really get that you only have 24 hours in a day. Or your kids could be hard. Your life with your kids could be hard, couldn't it? Too much. They just won't shut up. Or they won't talk with you. They've stopped relating. And you get so frustrated with them. Or anxiety. If we read through the law, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not be anxious on the Sermon of the Mount. Jesus says it as clear as day. It's part of the law. So were you anxious this week? Did you stop trusting that God is good, that he will work together everything for your good? You feeling guilty now? Because if you are, read verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation. It's not just talking about hell. It is talking about now. If you're in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. You struggled with sin all week. You felt guilty all week. There is no condemnation before God. And so why would you be condemning yourself if God sees you as righteous? If he says you're good, well, you're good, aren't you? Who cares how you feel? If you happen to have a pen, though, it's not a general, there's no condemnation. Keep going. In fact, I'd encourage you to circle this for those who are in Christ Jesus. In fact, if we read through all these different promises, they're not just out there promises. They are for those who are in Christ Jesus. Just let's look at verse 1. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let's go down to verse 4. Oh, no, let's halfway through verse 3. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he has condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Just circle that. Who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's not just a promise for everyone. That's a promise for those people who do not walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. Those who set their minds on the things of the Spirit. If you look through there, there's so many times for those who are, for those who do not walk, for those who live according to the Spirit. That's who these promises are for. Now, I want you to stop and think with me. These are two scenarios. I want you to think with me. Is it Shangri-La or Shangri-Li? Shangri-La. Let's go with that. In Sydney. Right there in the CBD. I want you to imagine that I've babysitted your kids. Well, not me. That'd be scarred. Someone else. I've got someone to babysit your kids who knows what they're doing. I've paid all expenses. A night at your favourite restaurant, looking over the harbour, a show, and then a week in there with yourself, if that's best, or your spouse, or what, you know. That's one offer. Here's the other offer. The powder snow is beautiful in Japan. I pay a trip for you to go there, up in the mountains. All tickets paid for, all passes, your gear's hired. In fact, I've got you those experimental skis for the day. Every day, a new one if you like it. If there's one you love, I'll throw it in to the deal. Now, I want you to pick one. Who's going to relax in Sydney? Who's doing that? All righty. Okay, who's at the snow? Who's at the snow? All righty. So there's your two people. So, okay, guys, those people in Sydney, you are not skiers. Okay, the others, you might be. Let's keep going. Now, I want everyone to imagine you're one of the skiers. Now, you're all scenario B. Now, you're up there on the snow. It has been a beautiful dump. And there is the moment when you have the choice to walk up to the slopes. Now, who's going to stay in bed? Or go out around? Who is that person? Who's going to go to the snow? Okay. Those people who, with all that option, go to the snow, they are likely to be the skiers, aren't they? You don't ski, you're not a skier. It doesn't matter what's on offer. It's when you ski that you're a skier. Right? Or a snowboard. If it had been snowboarding, you know I meant both. I meant both the whole time. Now, those who are in Christ Jesus, who have life in Christ Jesus, if you don't live his life, do you have it? If he has poured his life into you and you don't live it, do you have it? If he's given you his Spirit and it doesn't change you, and you don't walk according to the Spirit, are you walking according to the Spirit? This is not for everyone. This is for those who are in Christ Jesus, who has set you free from the law of sin and death. This is for those who do not walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. This is for those who do not live with their minds set on the things of the flesh, but their minds set on the things of the Spirit. Now, I want you to think through this week. Just honestly. Just be real with yourself. Was that you this week? Was your mind on the flesh? Was your mind on the Spirit? Did you struggle with sin? Did you struggle to your spouse has been a pain in the neck all week? Just a real pain. Did you struggle with loving them? You're allowed to say yes out loud. Yeah, I did. What? Anyways, actually, we won't have a confession here. That's what coffee's for. Did you keep doing a good job at work, though you are sick of it? Just sick of it. 30 years, teaching 30 years now. It's getting old. Well, the kids, I can have a sickie. I've got one free sickie. I'll take it tomorrow. Is that hard to keep? You know that Jesus tells you to work for the Lord. It's hard to keep doing that. I want to ask you this question. Did you struggle this week against sin? You didn't want to do it. Now, if you are struggling against sin, let me say, that is walking in the Spirit. If you're struggling, you're trying to put the flesh to death. It's when you've stopped struggling that we've got a real problem now. Have you stopped? This is what it says in verse 7. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, and it does not submit to God's law. In fact, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. If you're not walking in the Spirit, you are walking according to the flesh, and that will lead to death. If you keep struggling, that struggle is a sign of life in you as you call on God for grace. And for those people, it says that in verse 6, life in the Spirit is life. Mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Life and peace. The struggle will lead to life and peace. Now, I want to just stop again. I want you to go back up to verse 2, and it says this. For the law of the Spirit, I'm just explaining, in terms of teaching, I should tell you what I'm doing. I'm about to explain what does that mean to walk in the Spirit. Okay? I want to think about that very carefully. And in verse 2 it says, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free. What's your mind think of when it says the law of the Spirit of life? It's a very strong phrase because that's what sets you free. Don't want to understand it. What have you got? Don't say it out loud, but I want it there in your brain. When does Jesus talk about life? What does Jesus say that you have to do to get life? You have to give your life. You have to die to self. Anyone, Matthew 16, 17, in the book of Matthew, if you want to save your life, you have to lose it. Anyone who saves their life will lose it. And if you lose your life, you will save it. It's on my phone, just by the way, back there. If anyone's got my thumbprint, you can just go and use it. Matthew 17, I think. Now, if you are going to be a disciple, what's one of those three criteria? That you have to daily die to yourself. Put to death the things of the flesh. Daily. To be a disciple. What does that mean? That means that Jesus daily put to death the things of the flesh. If you're following Jesus and you're doing what he did, and he says to follow me, you have to daily put to death the things of flesh. You have to do that every day, don't you? Let's see that's true. I haven't got the pink version. I've only got a blue, like a personal blue version. So on the back page, let's look at Hebrews. And this is when Jesus came into the world, verse 5. He said, a sacrifice and an offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me, with burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. And then I said, here I am. That's Jesus. It is written about me in the scroll, I have come to do your will, O Lord. And it repeats it down the bottom again, that I have come, here I am, I have come to do your will. That's what Jesus did through his life. He didn't do what he wanted through his life. Ever. When Jesus was as the second person of the Trinity, was in heaven before he became Jesus, when he was just the Son, he and the Father had the same will all the time. They wanted the same things. They did the same things. They were perfectly united in purpose. And then Jesus became a man and he had a different will. He wanted to say things that were different from the Father. Do you notice that Jesus said, I don't say anything I want to say. I only say what the Father wants me to say. I don't do anything I want to do. I only do what the Father wants me to do. That was his whole life. Jesus was showing us through his life how to live. And it came to the Garden of Gethsemane, and there he is. And what does he say? Daddy, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. Please don't make me do this. But not what I want, what you want. How did he get to that point? Because he did it his whole life. That is walking in the Spirit. That is dying to yourself. Not my will, but yours be done. That is the Christian walk. It is a fight. It is a marathon. It's not easy. What does Paul say about it? If it's only for this life, we're fools. We're fools if it's just for now. And I want to ask you this question. I mean it honestly. Are you walking in the Spirit? Is your day-to-day life doing what you want? Or are you putting to death each day what you want and doing what he wants? Are you feeling guilty? Romans 8 verse 1. Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Jesus died on the cross, and you died with him. I'm talking to those of you who are in Christ. You died with him. And then he came to life, and you were raised with him. And your life is hid in Christ with God. And the life that he lives now lives through you. It's no longer I that lives, says Paul, but Christ who lives in me. When Jesus died on the cross, by sending his own son, this is verse 3, for God has done what the law, weakened by flesh, could not do, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled. Does it stop there? Look down, it's just before, just above the little five. Does it stop it might be fulfilled? No. In us. He died on the cross that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. He's not calling you to do something that you cannot do in him. He is not. In fact, go down to verse 9 and it says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Now, if you've got your pencils out again, I really want to push this home like I think Paul wants to. Notice there, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, I want you to circle that. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, I want you to circle that. If Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of this sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And in verse 11, I want you to circle this whole line into the bit of the next one. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, if that's true, if that's you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. This is not a statement that's just true. This is a statement that is true if you are in him, if you walk in him, if you live in the Spirit. And if that's true, then he is promising here to transform you. He will do it. Now, you all look so somber. I just want to say that from up here. Wish I had a photo, one of those panos. You'd look and you'd be gone like that. I actually think that's exactly what God wants in you. I'm confident he wants you to look at your life and not just assume that you're walking in the Spirit. The reason I brought this beautiful, some are great, some I'm like this about, but on page 173, this is what it says. This is after communion. Got to take them off. You'll get old. Okay. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give life to the world. He gives you life so that you can have life. You remember what he said? So that springs of living water can flow through you. Finish with this. You go to the doctors and they can be encouraging, can't they? Ali sent me to the doctor thinking that I was spreading and wanted him to give me the word to just settle things down a little. So she was so disappointed. Oh, your blood pressure's excellent. You look so healthy. I went home. It was so encouraging for me. Now, I got a friend who's on the other end of the well, not really, who's quite a beast. And the doctor encouraged them to lose weight. Lots of it. Now, encouragement swings both ways, doesn't it? If you're walking in the Spirit, I want you to be so encouraged that as you walk in the Spirit, that as you have life in Christ, He promises you no condemnation. As you are struggling with sin, don't you feel guilty. There is no condemnation. You have been set free. It doesn't mean, I'm not saying there that you don't need to repent and change. I'm not saying that. But if there is guilt as you struggle, you need to realize that that is putting to death the things of the flesh. If you've stopped your struggle, let me encourage you, struggle again. As the Holy Spirit brings things to your mind that you need to change, put them to death. You can stop sinning the things that you know about. You can. It's not an endless battle in terms of the sin that's there. The Lord will keep bringing stuff to your heart to get transformed. But when He brings those things, you keep fighting against it. But don't feel guilty. I mean that. If there is honestly no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, then there's not. And I want to finish with, if it seems too much, if life seems too much, this is all promises. Right? It's almost like there's a promise of struggle in there, isn't it? There is a promise that you will have to keep struggling to put to death the things of the flesh. But look at the end of this. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life. This is not just future to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. He is promising to transform you. We're not getting to Romans 12, so I'm going to just say it. You offer your body as a living sacrifice to the Lord. Not once, but all the time. You just keep giving your body as a living sacrifice to the Lord. And you will be renewed. Your mind will be changed. And your mind will be transformed. And you won't be thinking so much about the things of the flesh. You will be thinking about the things of the Spirit. So just keep pushing to that. Well, let me finish by praying with you. Father, we do think and pray for each other here. We would love to become like Christ, who life just poured out of and transformed the people around, who gave glory to you in the way that he lived. We pray for each other, for your strength. We pray for people who are struggling with hard lives, painful situations. deep burdens of sin that they're trying to put to death in their life. Lord, we pray for your encouragement and strength for them. We pray that we will be a blessing to each other, that as we know what our brothers and sisters are going through, that you'll help us to encourage and strengthen each other. Father, we pray for those people this morning who realize that they have just stopped fighting. And we ask for your grace that they will start again walking in your Spirit. And we pray for those people who don't know you now. They just haven't started, they haven't put to death the things of the flesh, they haven't got new life in Jesus. Lord, we ask for your grace for them. We ask that you will let them see that life in you is life and peace. Pray for loved ones that we know who don't know you, and we ask your grace for them. We pray for our kids and our spouses who sometimes are hard or have struggles, and we ask for your grace in their lives too. We pray that we will help bring life to the people around us. Amen.